Heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the love that you have shown and poured out onto each and every one of us. Gracias por su amor. Gracias por todas sus bendiciones. Gracias por esta oportunidad que nosotros tenemos para estar aquí en este momento sirviéndote, Señor. Porque tú sí eres grande. Eres un Dios tan poderoso. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to come together to worship you, to serve you, to hear another portion of your word. Everything has brought us to this moment, Lord, now focuses our attention upon you. Help us to see you. Help us to see your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank you. Today we continue the series called Habits for Successful Christians. And on the last few weeks we looked at reframing success. Last week we looked at faith, and today we look at service. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Who is someone in your life that has blessed you so greatly that the mere thought and the mere memory of them, I mean, you remember their works and their service so greatly, how it's impacted you? For me, that person was my mother. My mother helped raise four children by herself. Well, she started out married, and then there was a part of time we lived with our father for about a year and a half, but for the most part, if you add all the years up, she did a whole lot of work by herself, raising three boys, two of which were pretty bad. Those were my brothers. And one sister. And yeah, I was a little rambunctious, just a little bit. But she was just one of those. She didn't graduate from high school. Afterwards, she did get her GED. She didn't go to college. She took a few college courses. But she was a hard-working woman. And she is a hard-working woman. She's still here with us. Praise God. And she gave. And she served. What she works as a salesperson. That's pretty much all her life. That's what she's done. She was a salesperson. And she could sell ice to an Eskimo. I mean, she's good at that. I think I was sharing with you before that the Dale Carnegie books that were in my house. Well, the reason they were in my house is because she was reading them. And she left them around the house. And one of the things that I picked up from her is that, and she won multiple awards from different companies for her sales. And one of the things that she taught us was that if you want to get something across to someone, don't look at what's in it for you. If you want to be a great business, it's not all about what's in it for me. If you're going to be a great salesperson, if you're going to be able to talk to people in such a way, you're going to have to find out what is it that they need. And if you can meet a need, if you can find what someone needs and you can meet that need, I mean, they'll have barrels full of money to be able to bring into you. And it just really shows us that the importance of serving others. When you serve others, you're served. When you bless others, you're blessed. When you give to others, it's giving back to you. And Peter says here, he says, each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Some of you may have heard the story of the starfish, or la estrella del mar. I guess I put the wrong slide on the wrong side. Yeah, it's on both sides, but this one, that's all right. La estrella del mar. Y dice que cada acción, no importa cuál pequeña, sea la diferencia, ¿verdad? The starfish story. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but you're going to hear it now. There was a girl on the seashore, and the seashore was littered with the starfish that came in, and the waves had brought in all these starfish, and the sun was hot. It was beaming down on them. It was drying them up. It was killing the starfish. And there was a group that were out there, and they saw this little girl throwing the starfish into the sea. And one guy just came over. He was a real party pooper. He says, you're not making any difference at all. Look at all these starfish that are out here. What could you possibly think you could do to be able to save all these starfish? And the little girl, just not even paying him any mind, continued to go down, pick up and throw the starfish right back into the sea. Finally, she goes down and picks up one and pulls it up and looks at the man and says, well, I might not be able to get them all, but I can do this one. I can save this one. I can save this one. And I can save this one. And all of a sudden, he looked at her, and some others that saw the same thing, they all started going down and picking up one and throwing it back in. And I know sometimes it's so overwhelming when we talk about service, when we talk about being able to give to some, because I don't know about you, and I know as we sit down, as the elders and I sit down, and as leaders sit down, and as ministry leaders and deacons and anyone involved with helping anyone do anything, the more you look, the more you see needs to be done. And it can become so overwhelming that we see that there is so much to do. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, look, the harvest is plenteous. And the laborers are few. And I think sometimes the reason there's so few laborers is because we look at the fact that the harvest is plenteous. There is so much to do. But yet, I can do this one. You may not get it all, but you can do your part. Do a little bit. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, el propósito de la vida no es ser feliz. Es ser útil, ser honorable, ser compasivo, tener alguna diferencia en que hayas vivido y que hayas vivido bien. Amen. Amen. The purpose of our life is not just to be happy. I got to do some quick translation up here. It's to be useful. To recognize, I'm not even going to do all that because I can't get it all. To make a difference, to make an impact, that at the end of your life, you have made a great impact. Imagine going to our grave and wasting 50, 60, 70, 80 years only on ourselves. And then there were some. Jesus was here for 30, but for 3.5 years was really his ministry. And what did he do? And he said, well, that's Jesus, duh. Okay. There was some, Martin Luther King, how long was he here? 30-some years. There were others. There are many who have given their lives in service to others that still impact us today. And you may not even have a someone who's a super giant person that's known in the history books. But there are some who are in the history books of your life and have played a great impact in your life, and we're given that same responsibility that we too can do our part. Peter writes, he says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Last week, we talked about the fact that, or the week before that, we talked about the fact all of us are gifted. All of us, God has given every single one of us something. He's equipped us, he's given us each something, and he's requiring us and he's asking us to use whatever it is he's given us, whatever talents he's given you, whatever gifts he's given you, to use it for the glory of God. Now, I want to fix this a little bit, because a lot of times when we say for the glory of God, well, really for the glory of God means to bless and benefit others. See, as we do to one another, we do to God. There were some that said, well, Lord, when did we see you? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you in prison? And what his answer was, when you did it to each other. See, what we do to others, we're doing for God. There is no direct relationship with God without other people. God brings us in community. He brings us in fellowship. He brings us into a family that we might work together in order to accomplish this great task of taking the message out to others. And the message taken out to others isn't only an audible message where we say, hear, believe, and be baptized. No, it's a message of our life. It's a message of us getting on our knees. It's a message of us washing feet, quote unquote, of service to those we come in contact with. If we want to be great, if we want to be a great church, we've got to do the same thing Jesus did. Wash feet. I hope you know that I'm using that metaphorically. Figuratively. Oh, how'd I get up there? I'm excited. I'm sorry, y'all. That hour, it's going to creep up on me later, but not right now. Here are some blessings that we experience while serving others. First of all, serving allows us to discover and develop our gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, it compares the church with a human body. And just as the body is made up of different parts, each one doing something different, each individual part alone is useless. I mean, take a beating heart and just put it on the table, it's not serving any good. But when it's connected to every other part, it is supplying the blood into all the different areas. The brain by itself does not operate by itself. Everything is connected. And so the church functions best when even that little toe, that little toe we don't even look at, is doing its part. I don't know why they took my appendix. I don't know what it did, but I sure wanted to keep it. I believe it was doing something in my body. Serving allows us to discover and to develop our gifts. How do you know you're good? I was telling the class earlier, the very first time I ever got up to speak, you're probably looking at a guy, said, he looks pretty confident up there. You should have seen me the first time I got up to speak. He's got a gift to speak. You should have seen that first time, my knees were knocking. Palms were sweaty. You could have filled a cup with the sweat dripping off. I mean, and here's the thing. I didn't have to come up with anything. They gave me a little paragraph to read, and all I had to do was look at the paper, and I probably never looked at anyone in the eyes, and it was the most frightening moment of my life. But what happened? You continue to do it, I knew I had the ability, but it was getting past those fears. And the gifts were there, but you have to develop them, and you have to discover them, and you have to use them. And the more you use them, the better you get. Serving allows us the opportunity to discover and develop our gifts. Secondly, serving helps us to be more like Jesus. See, in this world, we see a world that is so focused on self, that it's all about me. Some people will step over others. I'm trying to make it to the top, and you think you by making it to the top, you have to step over others in order to get there. But Jesus has shown us a completely different way. If you want to be great, and he's not even saying you won't be great or you can't be great. He's saying, but if you want to be great, I want to give you a completely different model than the world. Jesus is somebody. He is somebody. He is somebody great. You can't take that away from him. But his model wasn't to say, hey, look at me. I'm so eloquent, and I'm so this, and I'm so that, and I'm so that, and putting himself on the pedestal, and taking advantage of others in order to get to that. No, what he did is he made himself a servant to mankind. And he's saying, the one who serves is lifted up. The one who gives receives. He's giving a completely different model than what many in the world would give. In Matthew 20, verse 26 and 28, he tells us this. He says, Jesus said to himself, I'm going to read it, verse 25. You see I'm doing this now, y'all? You know what that's happening, right? I mean, I'm getting old, young folk. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So he's saying that's what they do. You see how the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord over others. They demand them. They control them. They exercise their authority over them. They tell them when to come and when to go. And they stick their chest out and show their strength by sticking their chest out and speaking with that tone and having that iron fist. But he says, but that's not for you. That may be what they do, but here's what I'm showing you. And not only am I telling you, and that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Jesus didn't just tell us, he showed us. He demonstrated it with his own life. He said, if you want to be first, you let him be the slave. If you want to be great, the greatest is the servant. Serving helps us to be more like Jesus. And then, serving is so good for your soul. So good for your soul. Studies have shown that serving others is so good for the mind and body that it can relieve symptoms of stress and depression. Serving others can also be the best distraction for our own concerns. The best antidote I know for worry is work. The best cure for weariness is the challenge of helping someone who is even more tired. One of the great ironies of this life is this, that he or she who serves almost always benefits more than he or she who is served. In other words, you know, we get up and we work and we do, and it's, you know, one of the things that stops people from really serving is it's hard work. It's tiring. I got other things to do. I could be washing the dishes. I could be fixing my car. I could be sleeping. I could be playing video games. I could be, you know, making some money. I could be doing a host of all other things. And instead, you want me to go work? And I look at the people that come and serve, and they're just servants. And there are some people that just naturally are servants. I mean, you don't have to ask. They're asking you, what can I do for you? Right? I think I shared with you, we went to a restaurant, and I gave the biggest tip I'd ever given in my life, but it was because that person served at an exceptional level. And when you serve at that level, man, you get the attention of others, and you get the attention of God. Not only that, that service blesses your life. That service blesses your life. The last couple weeks, I've been blessed to be able to cook the meal on Thursday night. Amen. Well, I'm glad to have served you. And as I've cooked that meal, first of all, I want to say I'm so happy to see Sue and Ed back. But there's a labor of love that sometimes you don't even realize that's being given and poured out to you. As I was tasked to do what she does every week, you know, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it. She enjoys it. But at the end of the night, you're exhausted. Exhausted. But I want to tell you that it's not a bad exhaustion. It's a good exhaustion. It's one that says, look, I've spent my time doing something to bless other people. And as a result of that, now I can sleep. And I just say, well, you know, thank the Lord for the opportunity to give, because I've received something from giving. I received from being able to bless others. When there were some times I was telling the class this morning, I did not want to get up this morning. And I'm sure a lot of us had that. We did not want to get up this morning. You're talking about an hour we lost already, and it was rainy and gloomy outside. Matter of fact, I want to give you all an applause for being here this morning. Praise God. I kind of had to be here. We were talking about the obligation this morning. Sometimes we do things because we're obligated to do that. And so sometimes it starts out with obligation, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. There are some things you got to do. You got to do because it got to get done. But then when you get to start doing it, when you start doing it, you get that second wind. You get that energy because you're blessing and you're serving and you're giving and you're doing and you're helping and you're lifting spirits, and you can see that. That's a wonderful thing. You can see the fruits of that right away. There's some things you have to wait for the fruit. But see that, when you see a smile on someone's face, that they came in mad and sad and gloomy, and you can put a smile on someone's face, you can see the fruit of that right away. And it does something for you. It blesses you in a great way to be able to serve others. And I want to serve you by giving you some time back today. We all make explanations for not serving. And I don't have time. I don't know what I would do. I don't have any special skills. Or they don't need me. Baloney to all of it. And that's not Oscar Mayer. You do have time. You make time for whatever you want. We do need you. and you do have special skills, and if you don't know what to do, we'll tell you what to do. Amen. There's always an opportunity, and we're always looking. This world is always looking for more servants. There are few. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. My encouragement, if you think you didn't have the skills to do whatever it is God's called you to do, then I want to remind you of some men that God used. Moses didn't think he could be a leader or a speaker. And yet God, you know, he was a stuttering person and didn't think that he had the ability to lead others. Well, we know how that worked out. David was the youngest, often looked over. Matter of fact, as they were looking for the person that they would anoint as king next, his father didn't even consider him. But David's the one who fought and defeated the giant and was eventually made king. Paul used to kill Christians before he met Jesus, and yet even with that past, he became one of the most highly regarded and prolific writers and church planners in history. God doesn't just want to work through you. God wants to work in you. He wants to develop you. He wants to use you in a mighty way. And you know how he develops you? He develops you as we start serving one another. You want to be great, successful? Serve. Get low. There's so many opportunities. God wants you, and he calls you to do so. Maybe someone's here this morning and you're ready to give your life to Christ and become his servant, become his child. Why not come this morning if you already don't know the Lord for the pardoning of your sins? Why not come and give your life completely to him? The song says, I surrender all. Why not surrender all to the Lord? Give him your life. Bless him and allow him to bless you. And then as he blesses you, as it's told us, when you've received this great blessing and this great gift of salvation, as a faithful steward of all that's been entrusted and given to you, serve. Serve others. Quizá hay alguien aquí hoy que necesita el perdón del pecados, de sus pecados. Y Dios está aquí esperando y llamándote para venir y darle la vida completamente a Él. Él quiere perdonarte. Él quiere limpiarte de sus pecados. Pero Él no puede hacerlo porque usted tiene que coger el primer paso. Y Él está esperando que usted coja el primer paso. Y ese paso es un paso que yo te quiero dar mi vida entera. Que no es solamente un sección de mi vida, pero yo te quiero entregar mi vida entera como un sacrificio vivo. Si hay alguien hoy que quiere dar la vida al Señor, ¿por qué no vienes hoy? La agua está listo, o está lista, está preparado para ti. The water is ready. If you are ready to give your life to him today, give your life as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ today, why not come? He's ready to receive you. He's ready to wash away your sins. Why not come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?